welcome to the Eat to Live podcast. I am here with my dad, Dr. Furman.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. And I'm here with my daughter, Jenna.
And we are diving into a hot topic today. So hot that this might be the second time we've covered it.
You know, but we're hitting it from a different angle and more giving different information about that similar topic.
And that topic is protein. So we're going to dive into protein because it is so talked about in our podcast, in the Nutritarian Diet, on the internet, on social media. People are just rampant about it. So we thought we should dive in and get the cold, hard facts. What do you say, doctor?
I say that I've actually been discussing with people and they wanted me to go into more detail and repeat certain things again and review the confusion because they're being bombarded by keto, carnivore, protein being bad, being good. People wanting to crave and put extra protein powders in their food. So let's go start with this. Let me start with this idea that there are people that bash carbohydrates, right? Mm-hmm. And there are people that bash fat. Some people say, better to be a diet, be lower in carbs. Now, there are studies that show that carbohydrates are bad. And I'm saying people that bash carbs use studies to defend their viewpoints. And those studies are showing poor quality carbohydrates, like white rice, white flour bread, and other processed carbohydrates or poor quality carbohydrates. When you look at good quality carbohydrates, you can't bash them because the good quality carbohydrates, like beans and vegetable carbohydrates, beets, carrots, peas, are linked to longer lifespan.
And I'm sure, actually, when you're talking about foods that are health promoting and non-health promoting in the carbohydrate space, there's a lot of processed carbohydrates. So it makes sense to me that unprocessed whole foods would be the best source of carbohydrates, like you get from sweet potatoes, even chickpea pasta.
That's right. The Nutritarian Diet wants you to have the best quality, most nutrient dense, the least processed foods. So you're choosing the best carbohydrates, the best fats, and the best proteins. Now, people who bash fat, every study they point to bash fat are American style fats, which are animal fats and butter and oils. They don't study nuts and seeds. They can't produce a study showing eating more fat from nuts and seeds has negative effects on weight loss, on diabetes, on cholesterol, or on lifespan. As a matter of fact, the opposite is shown. When you actually look at the high fat, the whole food, whole plant food fats, which are nuts and seeds and avocados, then the studies show when you go up in amount, you have longer lifespan. So it's like they're telling people, and certain nutritional gurus in the plant-based community are getting people nervous about eating nuts and seeds and avocado because they have this blanket brainwashing that fats are bad.
That was what I was just going to say is really surprising to me. I don't know if it's just my circle or world, but when I go out to plant-based restaurants like Cafe Gratitude or Trilogy in La Jolla, there's a bunch of options where they put like quinoa, sweet potatoes, load on the cashew sauce, avocado, right. All these things that are really good fats that I'm so excited to eat, and they make me feel so nourished and full. So I'm very surprised to hear you say there are people that are actually cautioning against that.
A tremendous amount of nutritional myths is propagated within the plant-based community. And maybe you're not aware of living in there, but in me, I live in that community because I live, give lectures, right? And they use science, but some people say like the fat you eat is the fat that goes on your body, makes you fat. The fat you eat makes you fat. It's not true. And then they produce a study to show that the fat goes up, people's body fat goes up. That's not true. It's only when you look at oil, not when you look at nuts. Because when you isocalorically, which means the same, like let's say 1,400 calories a day, and take out some carbohydrate like rice or potato and put in nuts and seeds with more fat in the diet, the same amount of calories, you get more weight loss, not more weight gain. The idea that you're eating fat puts on fat is totally a myth, and it's a distortion of what the science says. So I just want to we're talking about, of course, if you eat more nuts, if you required 1,400 calories a day and you eat an extra 300 calories from nuts and seeds on top of the 1,400 you were eating, sure, the extra calories of anything can make you gain weight. And nuts can be concentrated calories and people can overeat on them. But that's not the same thing as fat makes you fat. It doesn't make you fat. You were substituted from an equal amount of carbohydrates or equal amount of protein we've removed from the diet. And when you get your fat from nuts and seeds, you're getting a protein fat mixture. You're not getting just plain fat. So when you use, and plus the fact when people use oil on their food, they're stripping protein out of their diet. Because then if they got the whole nut or seed, they'd be getting the fat mixed with protein. And if they're taking the oil, they're getting the fat mixed with no protein.
Wow, you just said a lot of questions, and now I got lost for a second. what I was going to say originally is that it is easier for me not to overeat when I have those healthy fats in there. And I kind of dumb it down in my own language to just, I really do believe there are good fats and bad fats, and the good fats help me feel satiated and full. And kind of like the, you say, they let the bad fat slide off your body. Like that visualization really helped me. And I feel like once you start eating it and feeling so satiated, it makes you believe that, hey, this must be good for you.
Yeah, and it adds like flavor and enjoyment to your meal.
Totally.
Like, how can you just, it's like...
dry. I feel like everything would be really dry.
But the other issue is here that I'm making is that this extreme low-fatism is not good for your long-term health. It increases risk of cardiac arrhythmia. The myocardium cells, the heart cells, need fat to stabilize the rhythm. And the idea that it's better to cut out fat to reverse heart disease is actually the opposite. It's better to include some healthy fats to reverse and prevent heart disease because it makes the heart more stable. And I published a study on that. I have a study.
You have a lot of studies in front of you.
A lot of studies in front of me. Maybe I didn't bring that one out. But maybe I have it here. No. Well, anyway, I published a few studies. I don't have it here. One on the fact that a nutritarian diet with a diet is fat adequate was able to take about 450 people, showing their blood pressure reversed more than any study I'm aware of in the medical literature, and you know that it dropped the systolic blood pressure 26 points while the medications were withdrawn. Not only that, but then I also gave multiple cases of very advanced heart disease, people in heart failure, irregular heartbeats, advanced blockages, to show that they recovered their health using a nutritarian diet, dramatic improvement and resolution of severe heart disease using nuts and seeds. And I gave a study published again in the International Journal of Disease Prevention and Reversal showing with more than 60 different references how it's healthier to be on a diet even when you have advanced heart disease that includes nuts and seeds in it, includes fat in it, and all the detrimental effects you have when you cut fat out. But one of the main detrimental effects is you don't absorb nutrients as well, fat-soluble nutrients as well. You get tremendous increase. But the next thing is it doesn't support the production of hormones and immune system function and longevity proteins, maintaining stem cells and maintaining telomeres as we age when your diet gets too low in fat. So it accelerates aging and increases risk of all-cause mortality and reduces immune surveillance. So our body needs fat. And this idea that fat is evil is incorrect. So we're talking about nuts and seeds as superfoods that benefit our long-term health.
People don't know this, but you are actually a poet as well, right?
What is that? What we're talking about?
Just wait for it. Okay. You like to rhyme, right? Mm-hmm. You do have a blog article called Nuts and Seeds Melt Heart Disease, which is a nice rhyme. I don't know if you did that on purpose. So a little mantra for you is nuts and seeds melt heart disease. Yeah.
Good.
So I think that's important to recognize. But what's also cool is I've seen that change happen firsthand. It is very cool to be visibly seeing this stuff at the Eat to Live retreat when you've had guests come in who, instead of getting triple bypass surgery, they've come to the retreat and you put them on a nutritarian diet and they're losing weight, their heart disease is improving. It's just
their
cool
diabetes
to see it.
Goes away in 2 weeks. They're mm-hmm. off their insulin. Their high blood pressure goes away in 3 weeks.
Right.
Right. Their chest pains go away. They get well so quickly and so predictably because the diet is encompassing so many beneficial factors. Mm-hmm. And then transitioning into this idea of protein, because people bash protein too, because they say that too much protein is bad. And it's true. Too much animal protein is bad. But the thing we're talking about today is that just like the body needs fat, it needs protein. And the design of the plant-based diet is important to make to assure protein adequacy. And the idea that you can just eat anything you want and you get enough protein is not true, because you could have a macrobiotic diet, you could have a fruitarian diet with too much fruit because fruit's too low in protein, if you're eating mostly fruit. Some of these raw food diets are too high in fruit and avocado and they're not eating any cooked beans, and their diet may be low in protein, especially as they age. Because as we pass the age of 60 to 70 to 75 to 80, the amount of protein we absorb from the food we eat goes down and our protein requirements go up, not go down. And therefore, some of these people who are thriving in their 40s and 50s will find they have immune suppression and failure to thrive as they get older. And I'm mentioning this, it's so important because so many people have turned back from eating plant-based or vegan diets due to failure to thrive because they're eating the wrong type of diet. And my experience as a plant, as a physician, taking care of a large plant-based community with varied, varied dietary habits, I've observed in my clinical practice over the decades, many people following fruitarian type or raw food diets have developed pneumonia, fungal infections, loss of hair and nails, and failure to thrive as they aged because their diet was too low in protein. They were eating the fat and just carbohydrate, but their diet was too low in protein.
Which is kind of funny because I was at a coffee shop doing some work before this and I ordered lunch. And when I ordered, the bartender asked me, hey, are you vegan? Like, I want to make sure, you know, there's no cheese in that. And we were talking about it. He said, you know, I was vegan for 3 years, but I stopped it because I was getting too skinny. He said, I needed more protein. And we were talking about it a bit. He said, I didn't eat any of like the beans, tofu, all that stuff. So I had to add chicken and meat, blah, 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 blah. And I said, why don't you just add more beans and tofu to your diet?
Right.
Beans and tofu are so delicious. I couldn't imagine not having them in my diet. So if you're someone that's eating plant-based and not having those ingredients, I feel like you must always be hungry and the fiber, it all makes you feel so full and satiated. So why would you not eat a protein-rich plant-based diet?
That's what I'm advocating. You know, because I love to do sports, and I love to ski, play tennis. But I go to the gym and lift weights.
Yeah.
And I don't want my arms being like sore after I did biceps exercise and pull downs and curls and stuff.
Right.
And I want to have an adequate protein in my diet, even though I'm on a plant based diet. So I'm looking to have these natural sources of plant based proteins. And the message here in this podcast is that paying attention to the increasing these plant-based proteins in your diet has been documented in scientific studies to make you live longer. More plant protein. If you can remember anything from this podcast, it's that more animal protein shortens lifespan, and more plant protein, paying attention to it and getting more plant protein, not overeating calories, of course, makes you live longer. Mm-hmm. Increasing the protein concentration with whole plant foods makes you live longer.
Just to be crystal clear, so you're advocating for the optimal amounts of carbohydrates, fat, and protein, our macronutrients. And you could do so, I think, by just eating your G-bombs, right? Doesn't that kind of cover all our bases?
Greens, beans, onions, mushrooms, berries, and seeds. Yeah, but it's a little lacking because the G-bombs don't cover all the things you may want to eat. Carrots, beets, peas, sweet potatoes.
Of course.
Intact oatmeal.
It didn't
give you everything you might want to eat. It just gives you, because the G-bombs is just focusing on those six foods that have the most scientific evidence to prevent cancer.
But when I was thinking about these foods, like what I shop for at Whole Foods or the grocery store, is it's really like the produce section. Like everything is game on in the produce section. You got your herbs, you got your garlic, you got any vegetable has some unique properties that are good for you. And some are higher in carbs, some are higher in fat. Like whether it's the avocado or the sweet potato, whatever you're mixing at the grocery store in that Whole Foods section is good for you when it's not processed. Then you have your packaged foods and all that crap that you might want to not associate with.
Sure.
But it's like, I love the fact that it's not so limiting, even though you're talking about these ratios and how you want to mix what's good, what's this, the optimal amounts. I feel like I'm not restricted or limited. I just like eating nature's food in these mixtures and bowls that I love.
That's cool, because I'm saying that it's people that they, fat is bad and they cut too much fat out of the diet. Bad. Mm-hmm. People who put too much, carbohydrate is bad. They cut too much carbohydrate out of their diet. They want to be keto.
Yeah.
Or they want to be zone. You know, the zone is 40-30-30. 40% carbohydrate, 30% fat, 30% protein. Keto is 70%, is less than 30% protein, 30% fat. I'm sorry. The keto is less than 30% carbohydrate.
Yeah.
So it's like 20% carbohydrates, 30% fat, and 50% protein. 50-30-20, something like that, or 40. You know, something in that range. They want to keep carbohydrate really low. Maybe fat's the most thing they eat. Like 50% fat, 30% carbohydrate, or 20% carbohydrate after 50% fat, leaving 30%.
Wait, I have a question. Are you saying if for like keto or carnivore, someone that's eating a very meat-heavy diet, say it's just like meat and vegetables, you're saying that diet, if it's mainly meat, is higher in fat than it is protein?
That's correct. Meat is more fat than protein.
Really?
Meat's higher fat.
I don't think I knew that, because people are protein obsessed, protein crazy. I feel like that's their number one reason for going carnivore or keto is because they're like, I just need a ton of protein.
It's like the hamburger is like 35% protein
and
then like 65% fat. You know, most meat is more fat than protein.
Right.
But even if the leanest cuts of meats, it could be like 50-50.
Yeah.
Maybe chicken or fish might be more protein than fat. But in any case, they're still getting an adequate fat and protein, but they're restricting carbohydrate. And what the studies are showing, so I'm saying here, the studies show two very interesting points. One is that carbohydrate goes down, deaths increase. And once you cut down to a lower amount of carbohydrate, particularly in keto, you have the highest amount of what's called early life deaths or premature deaths. Now, an early life death is a death before the age of 70. The average male lives to be about 75. So if you're losing more than 5 years of life, early life death before the age of 70 for a male, that's what keto diets show when they're tested long-term. And I've got a whole bunch of studies in front of me, like 20 different studies that show the same, that all corroborate each other. And the carnivore diet would be the height of a dangerous diet. The most dangerous diet you could eat would be a carnivore diet. It's hard to believe. People believe this craziness, right? Mm-hmm. Just eating nothing but meat. So they have almost zero carbohydrate because we know that the risk of animal protein creates disease in a dose-dependent relationship. The more your diet restricts carbohydrate, and we're needing carbohydrate, we need protein, we need fat, but as you restrict carbohydrate and too low, you increase the risk of death. And the optimal carbohydrate intake, based on all these studies, optimally, is probably between 50% carbohydrate and 70% carbohydrate. The optimal fat protein ratio is not the 80-10-10 that the fruitarians and part of the low-fat vegan community are advocating, but it's more like a nutritarian diet. A nutritarian diet is more like 60-20-20 or 70-15-15. We're talking about 60 to 70% carbohydrate and 15 to 20% protein and 15 to 20% fat. That's what the nutritarian diet runs around based on eating, you know, a few ounces of nuts and seeds a day. And that's what the scientific literature has from all these studies. Those are the ranges we get where we get maximum lifespan, the most centenarians, most healthy, long-lived people. We have so much data here today, and I'm going to show you some of this incredible data. But the point I'm making is it's pretty interesting because it shows that there's an optimal carbohydrate range, there's an optimal fat range, and there's an optimal protein range for longevity that people don't even have never heard of or are not considering because the advice they get from these people speaking at all these conferences and lectures and they are not accurate.
So for someone that might not know about your recommendations or your diet, how do they put that 80-15-15 or 70-15-15
or 60-20-20.
60-20-20. Okay, 60-20-20. How do you put that into practice?
I get your point. You don't have to be a scientist to put it into practice.
Yeah.
You just have to, because when you're eating whole natural plants, they already have this kind of ratio. Mm-hmm. If you're eating maybe a half an ounce to an ounce of nuts and seeds with each meal. That means 1.5 to 3 ounces of nuts a day is what we probably, you and I probably eat, puts us in that range.
It's like a sauce, an avocado.
It's the right amount. And you don't want to eat more than an ounce of nuts and seeds with each meal anyway. That's about the right amount. You're overeating. Mm-hmm. That doesn't mean, you know, LeBron James or, you know, a big 6'10", 250-pound athlete who's that big isn't going to eat more food because they eat more calories. They're not limited to 3 ounces of protein. And when I was a competitive athlete in figure skating, my job was to exercise all day. Mm-hmm. And then I had to eat like 4,000 calories a day. I had double the amount of food I had to eat then.
I think mom says like the whole back of your car was packed with food.
Yeah, I'd have like a bathtub full of food in the back of my car because I was training all day long.
Yeah.
So then I had to eat like 6 to 8 ounces of nuts and seeds. I had to go to class in college and I had to be eating sunflower seeds during the class because I had to go back to training again.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to, I had to keep my weight, So then I ate a lot more. But just for most of us average people who exercise, you know, an hour a day or a normal amount a day, then, about half an ounce to an ounce with each meal, or about 1 ounce. I consider 1.5 ounces a day of nuts and seeds to be the minimum, because in the Seventh-day Adventist Health Study 2, this study published in 2018, with more than 80,000 participants, is such a fascinating study because this diet where people were in the Seventh-day Adventist population, they're already eating a diet that's more plant-based, less animal products. And they found that the things that modulated death and lifespan the most were regulating animal protein. More animal protein made for shorter lifespans and more nuts and seeds. As when nuts and seeds became your source of plant protein, that had the largest effect at lengthening lifespan.
Wow.
Of modulating. So let me just read you this. It says, a total of over 80,000 participants, the animal protein sources analyzed, and the risk of cardiovascular death steadily climbed with higher consumption of meat protein, even in small amounts. A little bit extra meat protein made for higher cardiovascular deaths, and steadily fell, means the risk of death steadily fell in a dose-dependent manner with greater consumption of protein from nuts and seeds. So This was the first study. That's why I say 1.5 ounces is the lowest amount, because in these studies, it showed that when people went below 0.5 ounce a day compared to 1.5 ounces a day, there was a huge difference in longevity. And so to conclude this, it said the group with the highest meat intake was still less than what Americans eat, had a 60% higher risk of death than the group with the lowest. And the group with the highest intake of nuts and seeds, the cardiovascular risk was 40% lower compared to the group with the lowest intake of nuts and seeds, even among vegans. Even so, we're talking about modulating risk of death among vegans. The biggest modulator is nuts and seeds in their risk of, you know, increasing risk of death.
So put on your little tinfoil hat with me. I sat down on my computer when we were prepping for this episode, and I'm like, I know the carnivore people and people who eat high protein diets are very loud on the internet, and they say, I'm right, he's wrong. She's right, she's wrong. Right. And so I just wanted to see where they're getting their information from. Where are these studies? You know, what's the other side? So I sit down and I go Google like research on carnivore diet, research on high protein, research on keto.
Right.
And there is so little research. I was shocked because I see these things on Instagram and I'm like, surely these people are saying there's... Yeah. So I looked at one single study that measured, I think it was 1,800, because they had like 3,000, but they threw out, you know, 1,800 or whatever. So they had about 1,800 people left of self-reported short-term benefits. Right. So they say nothing has been conclusively or even studied for long-term benefits of high-protein diets or of carnivore diets, I mean. But short term, there were, you know, some benefits of X, Y, and Z. And you do not deny that there are some benefit, short term benefits of carnivore.
We have to discuss the benefits so people understand why people gravitate to those diets and feel better.
But I first just wanted to point out how little to zero research is done, yet so many people are so sure that it is the solution for their health and longevity.
You know, they're looking at short term research where it lowers cholesterol, they drop their body weight.
Diabetes.
The diabetes numbers look better. And even some mitochondrial studies, which reduce free radical production from the mitochondrial generation of energy from fat instead of from carbohydrate. It means when you're in ketosis and the mitochondria is getting burning fat, it might produce less free radicals than burning carbohydrate for energy.
Oh.
So there's some short-term biochemical benefits to being in ketosis. And there's but in any case, just to hit home that point is that... that the short-term studies may show some benefits, but now we finally have long-term studies. And to be a carnivore or keto advocate, you have to have some illogical rationalization as why you're going to disregard 100 long-term studies that show danger. And they do. They throw them all out the window. They say, I was interviewed by and debated this guy, Saladino, who was one of the founders of the carnivore diet, who said, all those studies don't matter because they're epidemiologic studies and it's just led to the people who are what more wealthy or have television sets are going to be healthier and then most of the people who are vegans or something like that. You just threw out all the studies. So I'm saying you can't throw out all the studies that corroborate each other from all parts of the world. Now we have really incredibly effective, appropriate, and intellectually done research showing long-term following these people on these keto diets and heavy protein diets for 20 years, 30 years, showing how dangerous they are. And by the way, this guy, Saladino, this doctor who is so harming people, just was recently interviewed like some months ago, and he's off the carnivore diet himself.
What's he doing now?
He's doing fruit with meat now. He got rid of the carnivore diet because total carnivore, because he was having sleep disturbances, lowering testosterone, and too much joint pain and muscle aches. Because obviously, when you're on a keto or carnivore diet, when you're carbohydrate restricted, you get high amounts of uric acid from all the purines you're eating. And purines are even higher in organ meats, which they recommend, which means more uric acid. And more uric acid means gout. It means more propensity to kidney stones. It means more kidney damage.
Mm-hmm.
But it also means more aging of the cartilage and joints. And the aging of the cartilage and joints, these people, even though they're big weightlifters and doing all this, they think they're keeping their muscles strong, they become old, you know, they become in pain. They get in pain. They get, their cartilage and joints go.
The sounds bones, terrible.
Yeah.
He sounds like he's also using himself as an experiment just to see what happens and then it's changing, which I'm just so happy that you deal with a lot of elderly people. So they've like followed your recommendations, you see how it's going well, and then you help them modulate any needed protein as they age, use protein powder, all these things so you don't get too frail. Because you said so yourself, you are very committed to not getting too frail as you age. Because you're 70, you still got muscles. How are you feeling about the protein situation?
Yeah, I exercise a lot still. And the reason I exercise a lot is because I love to downhill ski and ski powders, steeps, cliffs, moguls, you know, double blacks. Mm-hmm. And I love doing that. It's so much fun. Mm-hmm. But to do that, you got to be strong. It's not going to be safe.
Right.
So I'm testing my strength with box jumping and lifting weights and making sure I'm working out in the gym so I'm safe on the mountain.
Right.
You know, and I want to test my strength against, can I still lift as much as I did when I was younger? Can I still jump up and down?
Can you?
I'm a little less than I did, a little less, but I'm still pretty good.
Okay,
but,
cool.
But I'm pretty good. But as far as like my strength on the mountain or in the skiing, I'm just as good or better because I devote so much attention to it now. You know what I mean?
Right. Because you look the same to me, but I know we were talking about this too. You said, yeah, I'm building muscle now and keeping up with it so I don't lose it as I age.
Right.
Which I think it's just going to be really cool when you're 80 to see all the muscles.
Well, I think that's the whole key to forestalling aging. Is to try to work on keeping your muscle to fat ratio favorable as you age, mm-hmm. with this attention to diet, which I think is a fun hobby, to attention to modulating your diet to have to maintain your youthful vitality as totally. You age. And then just to stick on that, when you're on these keto diets with carbohydrates restricted, you from meat, dairy, fish, or any kind, you raise IGF-1 into cancer-promoting levels, and that's insulin-like growth factor 1, which is a hormone that promotes cellular replication and promotes angiogenesis, allows cells to replicate and get a blood supply. So it allows tumors to grow as you're maximizing muscle mass, it allows tumors to grow. So extra protein, even though it may promote a little more muscle mass, extra animal protein promotes IGF-1. And then it also changes the bacteria in the gut, which means unfavorable bacteria in the gut promoting TMAO formation, which is trimethylamine oxide, which is a pro-inflammatory substance that ages us and promotes atherosclerosis. And then this high diet high in meat is deficient. It's deficient in vitamin C, it's deficient in folate, it's deficient in vitamin E, it's deficient in phytochemicals, it's deficient in magnesium, it's deficient. So how could these people on these, their diet's deficient, it's producing too much acidity, it's aging their joints, it's promoting cancer, and it's just absolute craziness and people love to follow it.
I am actually surprised because I feel like that's their number one best point is like it has all the vitamins and minerals you need, all the amino acids. It is not deficient. So I'm actually shocked right now to hear you call out these nutrients that it's deficient in.
Folate only comes from plants. Vitamin C comes from plants. Vitamin E comes from plants. Vitamin, right. You know, all these things come
and
from plants.
And you hear on the internet, actually, people are now saying, there's like posts on it, people believe it, that plants have nutrients or
Anti-nutrients
to and like a poison for you, essentially.
Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, all animals, like humans from the beginning of time, have been eating berries, plants.
And primates. We're primates.
Totally. Which fully eat plants, right?
And we have the undeniable data. And here it's 2024, but here's a study from 2023. Let me just give you the title of this study. Low carbohydrate diets, low fat diets, and mortality in middle-aged and older people. A prospective cohort study. They divided people into cohorts and a medium follow-up of 23.5 years with more than 166,000 deaths. Imagine the amount of people you have to follow to get 165,000 deaths. They had to follow like a million people to get 165,000 deaths. Okay, so they were able to categorize all these huge amounts of people over 25 years. This is an incredible study published last year. It's just phenomenal. Okay, and research categorized people as eating either a healthy or unhealthy low-fat or low-carb diet. And what do you think they found? Of course, what they found. All these thousands of people and hundreds of thousands of deaths. What they found is that low-carb diets contribute the most to early life deaths below age 70.
Really?
With people on keto diets, 28% more likely to die of any cause.
Really? Any cause. So cancer, heart disease, take your
pick. Participants on an unhealthy low-carb diet, that means not carb, more unhealthy, low carb, more unhealthy proteins, like more meat and bacon and processed foods, increase their mortality by 38% every year. 38% increased risk of death every single year they will follow. These people were dropping off like flies.
Yeah, it's frankenfood.
It's just craziness, right?
It's not real food, though. It's manufactured in a plant that is filled with sugar and all these processed stuff.
Well, we're talking about animal products here.
Processed foods as well.
No.
I thought that was 38% over the years.
No, participants on low-carb diets, when they were on unhealthy low-carb, which unhealthy low-carb means they were having more red and processed meats.
Oh, I thought you meant like sugar, candy, like okay.
No. But okay, so that's one aspect. And then we have other studies coming out, pretty much the same thing, with the same effects It's right, I think it's right here. This study coming out in The Lancet. This is really interesting.
Okay.
Coming out in 2018. Okay. People who had the lowest amount of carbohydrates had the highest amount of premature death. Yes, true. But people who got more than 70% of their energy from carbohydrates also had a higher risk of mortality.
I see what you did there. There's an optimal range.
Right. So here's the thing, is that less carbohydrates bad, too much carbohydrate bad. True, people could argue because too much carbohydrates, they were eating maybe more processed carbohydrates like rice or, you know, white rice or white bread. Yeah. But still, when they went and analyzed all long-lived societies and long-lived populations, they found there was an optimal carbohydrate range in those in the blue zones as well, and the optimal fat range. So we're saying here, and then the people that lived the longest, who were the people? So this is published in The Lancet, 2018. The title of this study is Dietary Carbohydrate Intake and Mortality, a prospective cohort study and meta-analysis of all the studies, right? And they follow the eating patterns of like more than a 500,000 people around the world, like half a million people we're talking about. And they found that when you replace carbohydrates with animal products, more death, but both high and low carbohydrates were associated with increased mortality. The sweet spot of the longest life were mid-ranged when people got more protein and fat from high-quality carbohydrates like beans and high-quality proteins like nuts and seeds. So beans and nuts and seeds were the major factor modulating death here and life. More longer life, less life. Okay, so it says, source of food, the whole plant foods, modified the association between carbohydrate intake and mortality. What that means is that this tracking of carbohydrates and mortality was showed up because people had either restricted carbohydrates too low, or when they went too high, they didn't use whole food sources of carbohydrates.
Totally.
Because whole food sources of carbohydrates have protein and fat in them, except for fruit. So fruit is the only whole plant food that isn't high in protein. The other plant foods, there are five of them, intact grains, vegetables, beans, nuts and seeds. I'm missing one, I guess.
Is there four now?
Intact whole grains. I guess there's only four. Intact whole grains, vegetables, nuts and seeds, and beans, right? Those are the four sources of, because fruit is the sixth category, but fruit is kind of low in protein.
Right.
The only way you can make a plant protein consistently too low in protein is with too much fruit, because it'll diminish the amount of the higher protein plant foods you're eating. So as your diet moves towards fruitarian, an excess of calories from fruit, lowering the amount, pushing off your plate, those higher protein plant foods, then your diet can become too low in protein as we age and require more protein.
How would someone know that?
Because we're telling them right here on the podcast.
But like, would they feel symptoms of that or have failure to thrive? Because it's kind of, I don't know anyone. I've never seen someone who lacks protein, but there is that guy telling me he got too skinny.
That's correct. It's that my experience in working with the plant-based community is people start to, they thrive on these diets high in fruit in their 30s and 40s and 50s. But once they get over 60, they start to lose muscle mass and the immune system goes down. They start to get more chronic infections, more rashes, more risk of muscle wasting, loss of strength.
For sure.
And I've had people on raw food and fruitarian diets that come to me as patients who develop pneumonia. I got sick with pneumonia at a young age.
Right.
They were more susceptible to infection. I had one guy who came to me, and because he was a natural hygienist, he was on a fruitarian type diet, and he refused to take an antibiotic with pneumonia, and he died.
So sad. Yeah.
He came in, and I said, you got to rush to the hospital and get on an antibiotic immediately. You've got a pneumonia, you know. And the time he went to the emergency room, it was too late. He got there alive, but he died in the emergency room of pneumonia. And he's a healthy guy, a young, healthy guy on a fruitarian diet.
Right.
You almost never see these young, you know. And so many of these fruitarians, and they age, they get funguses on their fingers and nails and
Really? So there are signs. Yeah.
There are signs. Fungal infections and, and more infections and lack of ability to maintain muscle mass. You know what I mean?
What I wanted you to explain, which has always been kind of crystal clear to me because we've talked about it so much since I was 14 years old, is plant protein for a longer life. I get that. Mm-hmm. And you said a vegan diet, you know, a nutritarian diet, but no protein, like from animal sources, because on a nutritarian diet, you say you could have a little bit of fish or meat if you want it for flavoring, okay.
For a special occasion or something.
Right. Yeah. But you do say if completely vegan is probably the longest lifespan. But you're not claiming that we get all of our nutritional needs, all of our minerals and vitamins from just plants.
Correct. because there are three nutrients that we don't get optimal amounts from plants, and those are B12, zinc, and EPA and DHA. So some of these plant-based enthusiasts are so excited and so philosophically powerful and strong about their religious enthusiasm for plant-based, they want to make think that the plant-based diet is perfect the way it is. But it's not. It's good enough the way it is with just B12 if you want to live a normal lifespan. If you want to be dead like everybody else, male, you know, 75 and 80 like other people, sure, it's probably good enough with just B12. But if you really want to push the envelope of human longevity to 95 to 105 years old, which I'm trying to do with my followers, then the plant-based diet is not sufficient without supplementation. Because then you're not getting the ideal amount of zinc, and you're not getting the ideal amount of B12, and you're not getting the ideal amount of DHA and EPA to maximize brain size with aging, because we lose muscle and bone with aging no matter what. And we lose brain size with aging no matter what. So do you want to lose it the rate other people are losing it? We want to hold on to it better than most other people to keep our brain size and our muscle and bone size to push so we can live in good health till we're 100 years old. Then we got to do this really better job.
Do you think it's really possible that this diet is better than the Blue Zones?
Oh, yeah. Blue Zones don't do that great.
Really?
Yeah.
But they do great. They're good for research. How good do they do?
They live on an average about 5 to 8 years longer. Let's say 6 to 9 years.
In good health, though? Because I'm all about good health. I don't just want to live long. I want it to be quality years.
Yeah, the older people are definitely healthier. And they're definitely living longer than the average American mm-hmm. in a significant amount. Mm-hmm. But not as much as a Nutritarian diet. A Nutritarian diet pushes the envelope of that type of style. Because Blue Zones are in this range of what we're talking about usually. Mm-hmm. But they may eat, some Blue Zones may be up to somewhere between 5 and 15% of calories from animal products. Mm-hmm. But Sardinia in Italy is a Blue Zone, and they're eating a lot of olive oil. Mm-hmm. You know, Costa Rica is a Blue Zone. So the diets are so much better than the American diet. Costa Rica.
Thank you. Okay.
It's so much better than the American diet, but they're not examples of an ideal diet. And my Nutritarian family, I'm observing people who I cared for that weren't that healthy when they were younger, and they're living much longer. Collectively, I'm seeing the Nutritarians live much longer than the Blue Zones and thriving in their later years with their full mental faculties. You know, we talk about K2 as possibly being important, vitamin D to be important too. And even though there are other accessory, having a little calcium, extra calcium with each meal as we age to maintain bone mass with aging is being important too. But the major three that are shortening lifespan the most in the vegan community is B12, zinc, because it's immune function and mental function also is related to zinc intake, and DHA and EPA, mostly DHA.
And like grandpa who's having his actual 92nd birthday today.
Today, yeah.
Who had a heart attack when he was 70 because they didn't believe in your nutritional science. They didn't believe in your protocols. Had a heart attack. Mom put her foot down and said, oh, you are improving your diet. He did. 92nd birthday.
Right. He's a good example because he had such a bad heart attack in his 70s, or at age 70, yeah, 22 years ago.
Yeah.
And he had like ejection fraction went down really low. Mm-hmm. And the doctors, when he had in the low level of heart output, they told him he had very poor prognosis and probably only had a 5-year lifespan prognosis.
Right.
And he didn't even change his diet to everything I wanted to eat.
He doesn't even do it that good.
And he's still 92 and okay now. And he didn't have any more heart disease. It's like
crazy. Because he eats a salad a day or something.
I don't know what he's doing.
No, he does do much better. But I just wanted to point out the fact that it is really cool to see these changes in person, and it reinforces why you're doing this.
Yeah.
And
it's my mother's birthday this week.
Yeah.
And she's going to be 96.
Right.
And she didn't eat that healthy. She ate all kinds of junk when I was a kid growing up. And she even smoked cigarettes.
Yeah.
You know, and now that she got older, I forced her to do this because she's living in a neighborhood. She eats with us now. And so she has a full mental faculty. She drives.
I know.
She does that. And she's very sharp mentally and plays games and plays cards and plays all these, you know. But in any case, she's 96. Her birthday's this week. She's going to be 96 years old.
Right. No, it's inspiring that we have these people in our lives that haven't had this, that haven't lost their lives early, that we were able to get like a lot of more memories. And I just want that for so many other people, because people don't deserve to have their loved ones or their lifespans themselves ended early. It's just life short as it is.
I know. They're losing more than 20 years of potential enjoyable life.
Right.
And they're afraid to be that healthy or live that long because they think their life's going to be not going to be a good quality of life to live that long. But it's not true. Us Nutritarians, we're seeing it. These people are living longer with a great quality of life.
Right.
So that's the difference.
People are just so afraid to give up their meat, and they it's instilled in all of the propaganda media. They like the taste of it. It's, you can get it easily at restaurants, and they don't want to hear that meat's bad for you. But what's the one thing you always say? You always say that I'm just the messenger. I love when you say that.
What do I'm like, do whatever you want. I'm not your mother. You know, that's what I said. In medical school, people would like hide their candy bars behind their back when I walked up to sit in my seat. And I'd say, I'm not here to tell you what to do. You come, you could learn from me and like we could talk about it, but I'm not going to.
You're just reporting,
I'm just
on the
reporting
nutritional
on the studies. You do whatever you want to do. I'm not your mother.
You always said I'm just reporting on nutritional science.
Don't be mad at me.
Totally.
And but I'm not knocking people who do it, you know, I'm, you know, people want to believe what they want to believe.
Yes.
And you know how people, their bad nutrition makes their brains not even function well. Mm-hmm. So they're now, they're, you know, so we're talking about, you know, the craziness of people wanting to be on carnivore diets. They'll take any kind of information and they'll want to believe that. And they just lose their ability to think logically.
And really what it comes down to is education. At least you look at the education, look at the studies, because you don't have a choice if you don't know, but now that you know, you have the choice. You could feel empowered to make the decisions to choose plant protein over animal products, to choose health-promoting foods, spend more time in the produce aisles, all that stuff. But it all starts with education and knowing you have options.
Right. Let me give you an example of some high-protein foods right now, some really super high-protein foods.
Plant protein?
Yeah, plant protein.
Got it.
Because that's the key here. So the message here is more plant protein intake extends lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
Even among plant foods, paying attention to protein does matter,
mm-hmm.
but it's not, but, so you got to get more plant protein. So lentils and beans, more than 15 grams of protein per cup. That's a lot of protein, 50, you know. Okay, edamame, 20 grams of protein per cup. That's a huge amount of protein. Hemp seeds, 10 grams of protein for just 3 tablespoons of hemp seeds. That's a huge amount of protein. Talking about protein, you know, broccoli, 10 grams for 2 cups of broccoli. That's like a little box of frozen broccoli, a small box. Pumpkin seeds, 13 grams for 1.5 ounces. Almonds, 10 grams, 1.5 ounces. We're talking about these plant foods, mostly beans, seeds, green vegetables, and nuts. So green vegetables, seeds and nuts, beans and legumes are your highest protein plant sources and enables us to design a diet with adequate protein for the elderly people who require more protein.
Mm-hmm. And to give anyone a longer life. Didn't you say, start now?
Yeah,
absolutely.
This is what we're talking here about, all the studies on protein and lifespan.
Mm-hmm.
And these studies are all corroborative each other. They corroborate each other with a high degree of accordance, which the high degree of accordance means they all show the same thing. So now we're talking about, we don't want our diet to be higher in animal protein. We do want it to be higher in plant protein.
And just for the people that have always, I've seen this question so many times, am I too late? Should I change my diet or am I too late? If you are living, breathing, speaking, writing this message, you're not too late.
Well, they're alive. So they could live better. They could maintain better health. They could even get healthier if they're alive.
Yes.
Once they're dead, they can't get healthier.
Right. But you know? That's what I'm saying. If you're writing this message, you're not too late. So there's always time to change and improve your diet, improve your life and health span.
Right. The living. If you are going to live, why not? Live the best you can. Be the healthiest version of yourself possible. If you're going to stay alive, then do it right.
Absolutely. So we gave people more insight to protein and also the other macronutrients that are required for a long, healthy life.
Let's talk about the next podcast and go into fat with a little more depth.
I love it. Okay. Until next time.
Adios.
Bye.